Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. My name is Phoebe, and I'm doing this intro solo because Caroline is currently tearing it up on the Jersey Shore. This week is going to look a little bit different because, like I said, Caroline is doing God knows what, God knows where, and we're going to try something new starting like this week going into next week and then moving forward, where we're going to split the episode up into two episodes. So instead of you getting 800 hours of us talking about whatever we want once a week, you're going to get maybe a little less than, you're going to get the same amount of us talking, probably. It's just going to look differently. So we're going to split like the pop culture catch-up segment of the podcast into one episode towards the beginning of the week, and then we're going to do the Pretty Little Liars episode or the TV episode or whatever on Thursday as usual. So today there's no intro segment, and for that I apologize, but I promise you the reason this is happening, there's two reasons. One, again, Caroline is in New Jersey, but also there's another very special reason that you will know about very, very soon. Actually, as you're listening to this on Thursday, Caroline and I are in the process of putting something together that is going to be very special for you guys. We're really excited to share it with you, but we appreciate you bearing with us in that this week we're just going to do season 5, episode 13, and it is called... We recorded this like 5 days ago, and I'm doing the intro now, trying to remember how the A stole Christmas is what it's called. And it was a pretty good episode. What else do I need to say? Basically, yeah, if you guys hate that idea, let us know. But we think that it'll be good because honestly, we'll probably still end up talking for like a long time in both episodes. So content won't be cut short, but like those of you who really only like listening to us for Pretty Little Liars, that will be in one place for you and you don't have to sift through it. Don't worry, there will still be tangents. I'm positive of it. And those of you who like don't really care about Pretty Little Liars, you'll have the Tuesday episode. I hope you listen to both. That would be awesome. But anyway, I think that covers everything I had to say. And Caroline has the honor of doing the recap. And I think she already did it. And if she didn't, I haven't even uploaded her file to my computer yet. If I open that file and there's not a recap, rally the troops. Boots on the ground. Let her know what you think. And anyway, yeah. So here's the Christmas episode. Caroline's still going through it. And I appreciate you guys all respecting the fact that she's mourning. Be there for her. It's really come as a shock to her. So enjoy this episode anyway. Sorry, I just kind of rambled, but I hope that I got my point across. And yeah, this is why we don't do solo episodes. Enjoy. Oh, I'm not either. Well, I am, but I was about to say I'm not either, but I am. It's like when people are just like writing and playing around the studio and they're like, we'll keep the track going.
It's called Write Drunk, Edit Sober.
Yeah, there's a billboard on Music Row that says that.
No, there's not. You know, that's a Hemingway quote.
Well, I do because it's on the billboard. Okay. I'm about to show you my foot, but it has a sock on it. Okay. Just so you see the socks that I bought.
Oh God. Oh God, what is it gonna be? Oh, and the pointed foot. Okay, good.
I got them in light pink, like a cornflower blue.
Wow.
And like a muted Kelly green, I
guess.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Pack from Target.
Cute. Oh my gosh.
I'll put this obviously in the start of the episode, but I was at Target. Oh my God. Mortifying. It wasn't that mortifying, but I was at checkout and this guy like rings something up and he like needs to put a code in or something. So he just disappears. He doesn't tell me where he's going. And it looks like I don't have that much stuff. So a girl comes and like waits behind me and like fills the conveyor belt up with like three things, not a lot. And then this guy brings back this man who is like ancient and doesn't know how anything works, but apparently
ageist as fuck.
He has the answers to this guy's question. He doesn't, because then I hand him a gift card that mom sent me this week, and he scans it like it's an item, and he's supposed to know what to do.
Yeah,
that's the dynamic that I've taken from this situation, is that this kid's new, and so he needed the old man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he scans it, and he's like, "Do you know how much is on it?" And I was like, "I've never had to tell a Target employee like, how much is on the gift card."
I don't know, probably 250 bucks or something more than that. Probably not less than 250.
What do you see on there?
Yeah, yeah. What's your computer? Can I actually come back there really quick, and then I might be able to tell you?
And he like types in the number, and it says this that can't be reloaded. And he goes, I don't know. I don't know what that's about. And I was like, and there's a girl behind me. So I'm like, it's fine. I'll just use it another time. Just give it back to me. Like, yeah. I will use it at self checkout next time.
Yeah.
Because I'd be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
And the kid was being helpful, but I was a little bit like, okay, like I'm ready to just pay.
Yes. Yeah.
And leave. And he was like, no, you have to scan it. Like, you have to scan it when you have to hit pay, and then you have to scan it like it's a form of payment. And the guy's like, oh. Also, he's this really thick Southern accent. So he's just like, oh, what?
Your thick Southern accent is just real Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
And he's like, okay, and then he does it, and then there's like a code that it asks for, and he's like, oh, do you know the code? And I was like, it's on the card, but also I know that the Target gift cards are like 20 digits long, and I could sense this girl being annoyed, and I was like, okay, at this point, Target's not busy.
Go to another aisle.
Go move.
Yeah.
This isn't your problem anymore. And she's like, I think you're supposed to like scratch the thing off before you give it to them. The way she said that to me, I was literally like, oh, you're right. I'm so sorry.
I can't believe that's what she said, because I would have literally, I don't know what I would have said to her, but it would have been the worst day of her life. I know that.
I would have started singing
like long legs. It's my new thing.
I was just like so mortified. He's taking forever. And then he finally gets it to work and I pay, and it's just like, could this have been?
And you walk out and the girl goes, next time, try not being poor. Is that what the girl behind you said? You know,
there is something so embarrassing about using a gift card.
She's like, and I won't be paying with a gift card. No, there's nothing embarrassing. I don't ever think it's embarrassing, because it's always like proof that you have a friend. I didn't buy this for myself.
That's true.
Think of it that way.
Or I'm a gift to America, a teacher.
Or that. Okay, so this episode, okay, it's giving Christmas in July, anyone? Christmas in July? I didn't love it.
It's giving dead as a doornail.
It's giving Jacob Marley was dead as a doornail. Who can do?
We didn't snap.
You want to snap?
Yeah.
Okay.
One, two, three. Let's do it one more time. I'm going to clap. My fingers are slippery. One.
Keep that in.
One, two, three.
Should I do that again, though?
I always was like Junie from Spy Kids.
Butterfingers. Should I do that again?
No.
Okay, you got it. Okay, so
yeah,
just making sure you got it. We enter on Rosewood and it's Christmas time. And I know it's Christmas time because it sounds like Finn, the late Finn from Glee, is singing a Christmas song. It sounds like the Glee Christmas album.
It does. I'm a little bit like, why does Mount Lebanon look like this at Christmas?
I know. Well, it's like last episode,
Why is the Christmas tree on Beverly Road the ugliest thing I've ever seen every year?
I don't know what exactly is happening there, because it used to be a gorgeous actual tree and now it's like just a string of lights.
Guys, this is the cutest thing. When we were kids, there used to be a real big tree on like our main street near our elementary school. And every year, all the elementary schoolers would get to draw and like color in an ornament, like a paper ornament. And then our art teacher, shout out Mrs. Majestic, would Angel. Laminate them. And then they'd all get put on the tree. So that, like, is that not the cutest thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, it's so cute.
And then they stopped doing
it. And now they just have this like bizarre cone tree. It's horrible. Terrible. Anyway, all the girls are just like in the Christmas spirit. They're walking down the street. And this was an interesting exchange between Aria and Spencer. Aria's like, so what are you getting Toby for Christmas? And Spencer's like, oh, I'm not celebrating Christmas since I'm out on bail on a murder charge. Doesn't really feel like I should. It doesn't really feel like I should get to Aria. And Emily goes, and he's okay with that? Because she's like, we're not doing gifts.
I thought that was weird,
and
too.
And he's okay with that?
You guys are in high school.
He's not dating her for the gifts. She just gave him one.
Spencer says that they've agreed that like a nice gesture would be enough. And Hannah says, like clowns?
Do you notice how this time when she says that and she's like a court jester, Aria and everyone's just like, and I'm like, yes. So it sounds like you guys figured out she got a really good score on her SAT and now you don't feel like making fun of her anymore. You're like, oh, yeah, she's Spencer. Actually just operating on a different wavelength than we are and we need to get used to it.
Exactly. I was getting the sense initially, I was kind of like, are we kind of acting like Mona's not dead? I did have to remember that this is 30 days later.
I was really grateful when they said that. I was quite grateful.
I was like, oh my God. But also I did want to do some quick math.
Okay. Well, that's not going to be my thing. So
it's before Christmas Eve. It's like the day before Christmas Eve. So the 22nd, 30 days before that. Is that the
day before Christmas Eve is the 23rd.
No, I said the day. Oh, you're right. I was thinking of our Christmas parties, which is essentially Christmas Eve.
Oh my God, that was so deeply troubling, but I'll let you keep going.
You know what? You know what I was thinking about the other day? How we're going to have our own version of the Lost Culture Awards one day, and it's going to be the Connell Sisters Christmas Extravaganza.
Oh my God, stop it. Stop now. I'm not going to be able to sleep until then. Because I'm so excited. Because I'm so freaking excited.
Don't.
That's so
you
true.
Don't.
It's actually so true. Last night, as I was sending you like my ninth text at 3 a.m, I was like, and I know she's probably not going to acknowledge all these in the morning, but I still just got to get it out there. I just got to get this all out there.
No, okay, Caroline, 3 a.m. Well, let me just be clear. 3 a.m, my time.
It wasn't 4 a.m. It wasn't 4 a.m. yet.
She texted me all these memes she was
making. I only sent one.
And she says thoughts. Second message, this is urgent.
Because I was like, time is the essence. I was like, well, I thought that in the morning you'd wake up and see that it was urgent and be like, oh, I better like let her know what I think right away. Because I wasn't sure if I could do it.
Then I saw what it was.
Like, I didn't know if I'd be able to do it myself. And then I realized, wait, Caroline, stop doubting yourself. Yes, you can.
We've been talking about these people for 2.5 years.
So then I did it.
Exactly.
And I did it by myself and then I got it out there real quick. And so that's what we call a quick turnaround. Like you can see it at 3:30 a.m. and still have it out by 10 a.m. Okay.
All right. Anyway.
So then Phoebe realized I solved my own problem and she didn't have to get involved on the text.
Exactly. I was getting the sense that this was pretty quick after Mona's death and I was confused about how everybody was acting. And then Hannah does have a moment of grief because she's looking in the store window and she's like, the last time I was here. And I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure the last time you were here was last episode. And
I was thinking that
in front of these windows
like
all the time and you weren't with Mona. But anyway, apparently the last time she was looking in this window was with Mona. And we flash back to that and it's Mona saying that Hannah is Mona's first friend.
Oh, well, I didn't know if it was necessarily the last time she looked in the window.
That's what I heard.
Oh, do they say that? Sorry, I was just getting that it was like a time.
I think she said that.
Okay.
Or maybe like this time last year. But the flashback was from, I think, when they just became friends. But anyway, they're talking about how they're going to be best friends forever. And Hannah says that what's on her
But that would be really weird for that to have just happened. Hannah and Mona weren't best friends. She was like barely. No, I mean,
this was this is what I'm saying is this, she could have said that this time last year.
But a year ago, they weren't best friends.
Girl, don't ask me.
Well, but I'm just trying to figure this out because I'm like. A year ago, they weren't best friends. This would have to be at least 2 years ago.
That's what I was saying.
So what do you think it was?
This is, I think this is the first Christmas after they became friends, after Fat Camp.
Okay. You think the flashback they're showing us is the first Christmas after they became friends. I thought you were saying it was the last Christmas, as in like we're in this current time right now and Mona's dead. Last Christmas they were doing that. And I was like, I don't think so.
No. But Hannah says that she wants a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes for Christmas. And Mona says, well, you're going to get them. And Hannah said, I am. And she says, well, if Santa doesn't bring them, we'll just steal them. Mona's line reads, I said Ryan again. I said that on the Patreon instead of line.
Wow.
Her, I think it's the line read.
There you go.
It's throwing me off. But Mona's line reads in this episode are, she's having fun.
Oh, Janelle Parrish thought said, the same. Oh,
she said, oh, you're going to write me out of the show? Oh, you're going to write me out of the show?
Well, you're I'll also going to regret it. You're going to freaking regret it. And I certainly was already regretting that they kicked her out. I mean, I wrote flashback like a hole in my heart. That's what I wrote about seeing. I just dropped my pencil box.
There's nothing more embarrassing than dropping your pencil box, especially at the age of 28.
I'm 29, you fucking bitch.
Well, you're so radiant right now.
Did they all spill? 28. Oh, thank God to me. It's actually a Christmas miracle. They're still in the box. They just slid off the table.
This isn't the only Christmas miracle that we're going to witness this episode, because Allie has a very important Christmas miracle later on. But anyway, this man is like watching them and, oh wait. Okay. Well, they're talking about,
we got to get to Emily saying she's still like holding out hope and she's like hopeful for the future.
Hope is a dirty word.
And yeah, that's where Spencer said hope is a dirty 4-letter word. And I'm like, Spencer, we know how you feel about the word hope. You know what they say about hope? It breeds eternal misery.
Breeds eternal misery.
We know, Spencer.
Did you just see Megan's TikTok about she's being Spencer off of one Adderall?
No.
And she like did this she really sleeping. Dark eye makeup. And she's like has her hair all frizzy. It's so funny.
Megan is.
And she's like, guys, I'm fine. Aria, your boyfriend is A.
I thought that you were going to say that Spencer off of one Adderall, she's like asleep. Like it literally doesn't touch her. So Allie's throwing a Christmas party and Aria's like, to throw it in our faces. And I am like, why are you throwing this ball? Why are you throwing this ball? Why are we wearing masks?
This isn't Gossip Girl.
No.
How are you affording this?
I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is literally giving Kiss on the Lips. This is giving the masquerade party in Gossip Girl.
Well, it's giving a Rosewood school dance.
That is also true.
And Spencer says, just to be clear, she's only ruining my life. To which Emily says, ruin one of us, ruin all of us.
And that's where Aria doesn't, but she might as well. And she probably did in her mind say, actually, that's not true. That's not true. I feel everything really deeply when you guys fuck up, but I don't really feel like you guys get, you're not empaths like me. So no, I don't really feel like hurt one of us, hurt us all. Aria also has an insane line saying she'd rather dance on dead monkeys than go to Allie's stupid ice ball. And I'm like waiting for some kind of explanation about why the fuck she would say that.
Yeah, I didn't get
Doesn't
that
come.
Either.
Doesn't come. Thought it was an inside joke we were supposed to get. Not true. And so we're realizing Allie got everything she wanted. Bethany is dead, Mona is gone, and Spencer's going down for all this. So, like, everything is great. And this is when, Phoebe, take it away, someone approaches Hannah. I thought she was getting served.
Me too. Because we see this man kind of watching them, and Spencer's like, they're like, is that a cop? And then Spencer says, the pen's too nice. That's a lawyer. And it is a lawyer. And this is the funniest thing that Mona, I think, has ever done. Because this man walks up to Hannah and says, Hannah Marin, I was instructed by Mona Vanderwall that in the case of her demise, in the case of her demise, 30 days after she expires, I have to give you this.
And
it's this envelope.
Didn't you think it was interesting? Hannah just immediately opens it on the street. I'm like, do we not want to like at least wait until we're in the car?
Like there was a period of time there where she was doing stuff that could have gotten her killed and instructed him to do this stuff when she was actively trying to kill you.
Yes.
So how do you know that there's not like anthrax?
Yeah, there? You might like want to be in a private spot and also wearing gloves. I don't know. But she opens it and they're like these blueprints, these architectural drawings of Allie's house and
Emily
all of her hiding places. Yeah.
Emily's
like, I know it anywhere.
Oh, this is Allie's house. Oh, this is Allie's
house.
What
if we? Oh, this is my future. What if we saw at the bottom? There's like a template, and it's like template created, like copyright Emily Fields. And Mona's like, yeah, fuck you, Emily. I just like wanted to throw it in there. I'm using Emily's template. She's so fucking creepy. She has a whole template of Allie's house. She's like throws that in there. Hannah's like, and there's something else here, Emily. It says your name. And Emily's like, Hannah. She's like, never mind. Sorry. I can't read. It doesn't say Emily because Hannah's loyal. She's not going to throw her under the bus if Emily starts being like, Hannah.
And there's also a letter in here from Mona that says, hey, Han, if you're reading this, she's still playing the game. And I'm talking to you from the grave. But I went out fighting. And that's what I need you to do. Promise me you won't give up. You need to keep looking. Kisses, M. Which I'm like, okay, we need to maybe, you could just write out Mona.
Just write out Mona.
M is taken. I know it's E-M, but we say M.
Oh, wow. Oh, there you go. That's so true. Yeah. And Emily is looking at this, or someone's like, okay, so A is still playing the game. They're talking about A. And Emily goes, you mean Allie? And it's like, Emily, you don't have to say that every time we say A. We get it. Shut up. And Spencer goes, different name, same bitch. Different name, same bitch. So we decide there must be something in Allie's house that proves that she killed Bethany and that Spencer didn't. And they believe that Mona just handed them a get out of jail free card if they can get in Allie's house, get to the hiding places and figure out what we need. So then one of those like Red Cross Santas walks by.
Salvation Army.
Yeah. Salvation Army.
And he walks through them and past them. And Ari goes, hey.
She's like, Merry Christmas.
It's so she can donate. She's rude to people. She's like, hey, nice to.
Did everybody hear that? And is everybody looking at me? Oh, Santa Claus.
Oh my gosh. Hannah, put your camera away. Higher.
Hannah. Oh my God.
A better
Wait,
angle.
I only have a 20. Does anyone have anything bigger? I feel terrible. This is all I have. I'm so sorry.
And he hands her. I'm like, okay. You put a lot of eggs in this basket that one of them was going to donate because
yeah.
He hands them a snow globe from A that says A takes a vacation and you should too, which I'm like, okay,
and it's
okay. Consider it.
Okay. Looking out for, she said, hey, relax, recharge, refuel.
Frenemy.
Yeah. Frenemy vibes. But it's the snow globe we saw A make last episode. And I am kind of like,
I saw A make.
Oh, I saw it too, Phoebe. I just forgot to bring it up, but I did see it. But my thing here is like, okay, can we go get an ID on Santa? Because he is definitely not like good news. Why are we just letting him walk away? Aria's over it. Aria literally is like, blah, 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 A, meh. She has this attitude of like, great, again, fuck this. And it's actually low-key refreshing from her. So Allie is napping in the Tortured Poets department, aka her bedroom, and someone starts banging on her door.
I wrote on this. Allie's pulling a Lily and
pretending
to be
asleep,
with all the lights on.
And she keeps doing
like
this.
Yes.
It's like her whole thing.
So then the like power goes out, which is why it's important that the lights are on. And then we hear the unmistakable knocks of Jacob Marley. This is exactly what it fucking sounded like in the Hazlitt Theater, followed by a chain scraping metal. That's what it sounded like when this bitch came limping across the stage, looking like Mona Vanderwall, to be frank, And
no, Mona Mona's eating. Mona looked in the mirror and said, E-I-G-H-T, bitch. She looks fab. I actually thought Phoebe was going to say the unmistakable sound, the unmistakable knock of Justy. And I was going to be like, "There, I'm sorry, bullshit. You just know what her knock sounds like." But she said Jacob Marley. But it is Justy back from the grave to kind of warn Allie. And she basically just says, she's got a lot to show you. Pay attention. Whoever she is, well, then we find out because it's the Christmas Carol episode. It's the ghost Christmas episode. Mona.
Did you watch the titles?
Oh, yes. We've got Mona's face dead in the doll's eyes. Then we have the red and green nail polish, blood on the snow, and a Christmas tree in the back. I was like, okay, I get it. A little heavy handed.
I wrote, okay, this is how I want my nails done in the coffin.
You're like, okay,
I plan to die on my final birthday.
Oh my God, don't say that. Well, it will be your final birthday, that's for sure. I was going to say, which one will it be? But we don't really know, I guess. Phoebe, actually, that's giving me long legs and shut up. So Allie's just playing Silent Night on the piano, carrying around a picture of her mom, whatever. And then she falls asleep again, like on the couch. Shot. Yes. Falls asleep on the couch, wakes up in another dimension. And we have a little girl playing the piano, and there's Mona. And Mona, as Phoebe said, Mona is having fun in this episode. She comes up, she goes, I know you told me never to leave the house without my face on, but as a corpse, this is the best I can do for your ice ball. She looks like a in monster face, high doll.
She literally, like, you know when Chapel painted herself green?
Yeah, and she looked the best she's ever looked somehow.
I don't think Chapel's ever looked that pretty.
I was like, holy shit, okay, she's born to play Elphaba.
But like that, the way she did her contour and everything in the green makeup, yes. I was like,
it for some reason just like worked. She looked so good that day.
And Mona's giving that. Yeah. It's like you are in a different color, but you've just used the right colors for your face to still look good.
And by the way, the right color is apparently gray. A ghoulish gray. No. I'm confused.
That's not what I mean.
The color of dried blood, purple.
If you're going to be painted a specific color and then you're going to contour your face, you need to use obviously the right colors for the contour to work.
So true. And Phoebe does always say that.
I mean, look at me.
She always says it. So Mona's playing Allie is Scrooge. Mona is the ghost from Christmas past right now. And the little girl playing the piano is Allie. And so she's like watching a tableau from her childhood where little Allie is playing the piano and suddenly some of the keys stop working. So she lifts the top of the piano and we pull out two Christmas presents that she immediately opens.
Hey, Jess and Ken, are you fucking stupid? If you have a kid in piano lessons and she's learning how to play Christmas songs, you're going to put her gifts on the strings of the piano.
It's as if you wanted them to be found.
And they are found.
And they are found and open right away. I'm like, okay, little girl, you better put those back and pretend you saw nothing.
She finds identical dresses and she's like, my parents are so fucking stupid. They got me the same gift, these idiots. Yeah.
Jess comes in and Allie's like, so what's this about? She's like, we're not coordinating this year.
First of all, didn't ask for these.
Second of all, I'm an only child. They're like, you have a brother. She's like, only child.
She does what Jess does with her. She's like, one more time. There's one child.
Exactly.
Because Jess D is like, she says to Allie that if Ken finds out that there are two dresses, he will leave us.
And suddenly everything makes sense. Suddenly I don't blame Allie for a single thing she's ever been through. Cause I'm like, this is one conversation I'm seeing between you and your mother. And I'm like, okay, that's where she learned literally everything she knows. I'm watching Jess D show us the definition of gaslighting to her like 7-year-old daughter. She's like, repeat after me. There was one dress and you only saw one dress, one present. You opened it, one dress, whatever. So I don't know. She definitely is coming by this honestly. But then Allison asks Mona who the other dress was for, assuming it was Bethany. And Mona says, it's not going to be that easy, bitch. Like, oh.
I do love that before we have to watch this whole little scene, Mona looks at Allie and says, it's not going to be pretty, but you need to see it.
Oh, I mean, Mona is like on some other shit in this episode. She's wilding out with her.
I literally
reads.
Feel like she like got her contract given to her that like she's done, she's and she like, was like, oh, all right,
done before the halfway point. That's interesting. Yeah, I thought this. I mean, and you know, guys, you got my real and raw reaction to Mona's death, which I'm still like not like I know. One of my arguments for her still being alive was that like I've seen pictures of her in outfits I haven't seen yet. So I know that like she's still going to be in it. And Phoebe's like, they're flashbacks. And it's like, okay, I get that. Like, ah! So she knows.
Guys,
you
guys,
are not long legs.
Guys.
Okay, maybe Caroline, I was scared of the movie.
Caroline just, like, out of a cartoon, jumped 4 feet out of her chair.
I wish this was on StreamYard so we could rewatch that. But luckily, you'll be able to hear it, and you might even hear the thud from where my body returns to Earth after I jumped.
That was...
Oh my god.
Out of this world.
That was out of this world scary. Absolutely terrifying, I think you
Caroline,
mean.
Before we started recording, she was like, long legs was not scary.
I was like, did you mean it's a musical comedy? You everyone's saying horror. I'm like, you mean musical comedy?
Imagine if that's what it's nominated in at the Golden Globes.
Best original song.
And it's Nick Cage.
I am like, can like, I see your character work, Nick? I want to see how we came up with this.
There's a cut somewhere of him like doing what he did in the interrogation room, I think, for like 20 minutes.
Oh my god.
Like, but like not the part when she's in the room with him, but when they're watching the video of him talking about her. He did that for like a long time.
Oh my god. And they're like, and it was all improv.
No, actually he said that he doesn't like improv.
Really?
He was like, I want to see everything written out, and then I want to see how that informs how I act everything.
I actually feel the same. Like, I do like improv for funny things, but I always say the main
reason...
Well,
because Caroline always reads a script, and she's like, I could
have written this better.
Work this up.
Just kidding. But I do think a lot of times it's like the reason that I love theater and acting is because like I know everything that's going to happen. And I can't possibly say the wrong thing or fuck it up. And as long as we all do our jobs and we're all professionals, then this should go off without
Caroline
a freaking
looking
hitch.
Around, Caroline looking around to people like there are people sitting next door.
As long as
we're
do
all
our
doing our
jobs. All right. Well, I love
Anthony's
you.
Anthony's behind you.
No,
Anthony's
hey, thanks, Phoebe.
He's walking to your
Phoebe
right.
Phoebe just warned me that you're behind me. I love you, Anthony. Hey, next time you come downstairs, shoot me a text.
Check-in.
Not for any reason, though. Not for any reason. Just
send me a check-in.
yeah, send me a check-in home. And I'll know that in the next hour I'll see you.
Man, I feel like your night terrors are going to be tough tonight.
Oh, dude, if I ever go to sleep.
You know that first jump cut?
I thought you meant the first...
when we exist
in different worlds because not me thinking you meant the first jump as in the first jump I do when I have night terrors in my every night. Like my first jump. My first wake up and startle.
No. I meant when he's like,
oh,
I forgot
what happens
legs.
If I do this and then it yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. Epic. And so then Mona says, and that's when the monster was born. And then Allie wakes up and an ornament falls off the tree. And the window's open.
Yeah, so I'm guessing the wind blew it off. Who knows? We go to Spencer's house and Toby, I mentioned his thigh-high cast. They've written on it, here lie the broken bones of Toby Kavanaugh. Which I love it, hate it. But he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I hate the idea of those people writing that on his cast.
Yes. Spencer's getting
dressed. It's very Rent.
Yes, it is. It gives me Aria wrote it.
She's like, no, Toby, don't let anybody sign
it. She's like, don't look, Spence, don't look. Okay,
I have the perfect, it's her phone number.
She's like, call me. So Spencer's getting dressed, whatever. They're talking about all the games that Allie plays. Toby's looking in Allie's house, but her room looks completely different.
I didn't notice.
He's looking at her room is like pink and stuff. And like the bedding is pink. It's not the Tortured Poets merch.
But the room is pink.
I'm talking about her bed, though. Her bed is pink. It's
there
not,
is pink stuff on her bed, though.
Not really. It's white and black, mostly. This was not... I mean, it was like a different room.
Weird. I don't know. I didn't notice.
Anyway. So Spencer... They're talking about the ball, whatever. And their plan is that Arya and Emily are going to keep Allie at the ball. And then while they're doing that, Hannah and Spencer are going to go back to Allie's house and use the map that Mona gave them to go through all of Allie's hiding spots and try to find evidence that Allie killed Bethany that can get Spencer off the hook. So that's the plan here. And we're just talking about like, okay, well, what if Allie leaves or what if other things go wrong? And so Toby's job is to be parked here in Spencer's house watching and warn them if anything goes wrong. And Spencer gets very morbid and says, this might be my last Christmas. So she comes out dressed like a slutty Santa. And that's her big gesture.
That's perfect. And Toby says, wow, what a gesture. And that gesture. And then Spencer says, Merry ho-ho.
Which was bizarre to me. I'm like, we don't have to reinvent the wheel for everything. Merry Christmas works just fine.
And also, we don't have to reinvent Spencer. On what planet is Spencer saying
that? Spencer, just love yourself. Be you. Also, in what planet is Hannah volunteering at the church wearing a slutty elf costume?
At first, I was like, when I first was hearing what you were saying, I was like, well, for Ted. But then you actually took the words right out of my mouth because what is she wearing?
I elaborated. She's wearing actually what Phoebe, like the garter Phoebe hates so much that she's been doing. She's doing that, but she's at a church this time. So it's just we're upping the ante a little bit here.
But she's still Hannah because this little girl comes up to her and is deaf. And she says, she's speaking, which I think literally, is so funny. Yeah. She's like, look, I haven't signed since I was at fat camp and my bunkmate was deaf. But she signs Merry Christmas. And so I'm like, cute. Oh, fucking course.
Yeah. I'm like, well, you weren't at fat camp during Christmas time. So that means you learned
this. Sign language pretty well.
Yeah. You learned this at another time because you wouldn't have. Or that wouldn't have been like, one of the phrases like, you learned.
Had a little reunion with her dorm mate and Googled how to do it before she would go see her.
That's so cute, Hannah. But Caleb's also here dressed as an elf. He's looking really hot. And then we have Allie's mini-me. And she's calling the deaf girl a dum-dum. And then she says to her friends, call her anything you want. She can't hear you. And she's literally like, Allie, just if I just made like literally took the corner I and like sized her down. Like,
okay, this girl can act because then Ashley says, you. Says you come over here, and the girl comes up and she doesn't have that moment that most kids would have when they think they're about to get in trouble with like a cool she's like, what could you possibly say to
she's like, I'm getting the vibe you're a former fat kid, am I right or wrong? And Hannah's like, okay, sure. And she's like, yeah, just as I thought, you don't scare me. She's going to say what the kids... Never mind. I was about to share like a sad story from high school about me, but I can't.
Oh. So. Well, anyway, Hannah's like saying stuff to
shocking,
the girl.
Shocking, right? That I even have sad stories to tell, especially high school when famously I was the most popular girl in the school. All the guys were lining up to date me. Everyone wanted to be my best friend. I had perfect grades. Like, yeah, but even I had some struggles in high school. So, Anthony is down here hearing every word of this. Anthony, do you have anything to say about that? I guess he doesn't.
No, I was there.
He can confirm. That's what I thought.
So anyway, she's like lecturing this girl and it ends with her looking at, again, like an 8-year-old and saying, bitches get buried.
And I was like, okay, and Hannah, that's where, and I'm like, thank God the little girl
and
doesn't go
to church.
Excuse me, Pastor Ted. I was like, she could just absolutely light you up right now, Hannah, but okay. She instead says, this place blows. Let's get out of here. And Hannah's like, girlies, you do not need a leader. Be you. And they're like, you know what? True that.
You're right.
And they leave her and she leaves.
And then we go to the Rosewood High School, where the choir is performing for a nursing home.
No, we go to the Shady Days Nursing Home.
No, we're in the high school cafeteria. It says, welcome Shady Hayes nursing home. They are at Rosewood High School.
Okay.
And they're in the cafeteria in front of those windows. Do you remember when Ezra storms the school the first time after they break up across those windows? Or where Emily infamously gifted.
Hey, yeah, no, I know. I recognize that where I know what happened in this room before.
I'm just making sure.
You're like, do you remember? Okay, you don't remember a single episode of the show. How about this one where Emily gets drunk at the dance outside? You don't remember that? And we see her through the windows. Is it right there? Okay,
or
no.
Or she gets
great.
Gifted the ugliest scarf in
still
the world.
No. Okay, what about when Aria and Ezra make weird eye contact across the lunchroom? No. Okay, great. Perfect. Awesome. You're losing me.
Anyway, the choir consists of Paige, Emily, and Lucas. Again, I find it rather strange. Aria isn't forcing a solo on the crowd.
Also, Sydney and Jenna are also in the choir.
Right. And she's passing out. Aria's passing out like scones or whatever. Then Ezra shows up. This couldn't wait, dude.
Yeah, this does seem very weird.
She goes up to Ezra and he hands her a present of earrings, which are like fine. And then he hands her another gift, and I'm assuming it's a dress. And the dress that she wears later, perhaps. Which I don't know would fit in a box like that.
No, it wouldn't.
I'm picturing the dress.
I'm also like, is this your first Christmas together? Because she's like, if this is like a low-key Christmas, I can't even imagine what a real Christmas, a full-out Christmas with the Fitzgeralds is like. It's like, okay, I know we just went through this whole Thanksgiving thing, but this absolutely is not your first Christmas. Like, it's not your first time exchanging Christmas gifts. Stop it. Stop acting
maybe
like it is.
Maybe it's their first Christmas where she knows he has money.
Maybe, but still, like, I don't know. But did you notice Paige is wearing a shirt that says, I always go overboard? I just needed you to know it in case you didn't.
No, I didn't. She's on the phone, or well... Initially, Sydney comes up to Emily, and Emily, I've never really seen Emily. Like, I'm like, Emily, we couldn't treat the girl who tried to drown you like this for like a little bit longer.
Oh my God, I know.
She's so mean to Sydney, which is valid, but it's like, okay, you have it in you.
Question. Is Sydney going to do anything else that sucks?
I don't really remember. I feel like, yeah.
She must, because the way people hate this bitch, I'm like, I know she's annoying, but this can't be it. Like, if that's it, I think it's a little much.
Yeah, I think maybe. I mean, she's in the show till the end, so she's got a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I think it's also just, like, she's annoying. Like, she's an annoying person.
Yeah, that's also true, yeah. So, Sydney's trying to reconcile with Emily. And as Phoebe said, Emily's like, shut the fuck up and never talk to me again, loser. That might as well be what she says. But she goes, why doesn't Jenna come over here? You don't have to be her eyes and ears. She can hear, right?
Whoa! I'm like, okay, we were just at the church watching this little mini Allie be so mean to this deaf girl. And now Emily's being mean to Jenna?
Yeah, it's actually
because of her disability?
It's kind of, I mean, when she's mean to Jenna. I'm like, okay, well, she's not being mean because of Jenna's disability.
Yeah.
So,
but she is... She is bringing up her disability.
Anyway, Emily overhears Paige on the phone, and Paige is fighting with her parents, saying, it's not what I want, it's what you want. And we find out that after Christmas, and yes, before graduation, Paige's parents want her to go to California and stay there. And while they're
at
in the middle...
at this point, we don't get the... We don't know that... Emily is still under the impression that it's just going to be for winter vacation.
Oh, okay, okay.
We don't find out till the end of the episode that her parents actually want Paige to move. Because you're right. As Emily, like, it goes right over Emily's head. She doesn't think it's a big deal at all because she says, ah, look up. Mistletoe.
Well, Aria says it.
Oh, I had my head down.
Oh my God. That's crazy you missed that because it's just such a funny Aria moment.
Wait, she said that to them?
Aria pops up and interrupts their conversation and goes, oh, look. And then walks away. And then they kiss. Yeah, Aria comes and points. I know. Aria's like, I just love
Aria
seeing my
away.
Two girlies kissing. She's like, let me get in there. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm straight. I'm in the movie and I'm just like finishing up the post about the episodes being out. And I go to our Patreon so that I can get the link. and I see the still for
the thumbnail,
the It Girl thing, and the title being "I'm Everywhere, I'm So Julia," and then you see me wearing my Charlie XCX glasses, headphones, and my name is Julia in all caps. I show Kelly. I was like, she's like, no. So if that doesn't sell the episode, I honestly do not know what will.
I don't even really know what we talked about.
Me either. Me either. And like, honestly, I'm like, do you think this episode right now is going okay? Because I'm like struggling.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's going fine. So we go back to Allie's house and she is very quick. She is giving two people a makeover and she says, all right, let's see the final product. And Cindy and Mindy turn around and look like two
normal
deer
girls
in the headlights. and their eyes are like,
yeah,
they've got that like 10,000 miles
stare. They're like, we've never worn contacts before.
Well, I feel like they maybe don't even have contacts in and they're like trying to see. That's how badly they need their glasses. And Allie says, it's a Christmas miracle.
It's like, well, that's the meanest thing ever, but okay, great. They're so happy to be hot, apparently.
So we go to
the ball. Woo! The ball is truly a winter wonderland. The budget was non-existent.
Why is Aria always in this cut?
Well, Ezra bought her this dress, so.
No, but she. Do you remember the dance?
No,
I know. I think it's the first.
The like, you mean the like,
with the red,
yeah,
the red
and
black
stripes and stuff. Yeah, no, I know this is her cut, but I'm like, to think that Ezra bought this for her,
and it's so Aria. Maybe you guys should get married.
I'm also kind of wondering if this, because we both said, doesn't seem like it could fit in the box. Maybe he got her a different dress that was actually gorgeous. Maybe he got her a dress like the one Spencer's wearing. And Aria was like, Z, this just isn't me. I already have this gown.
I'll give it to Spencer.
She pulls this out and she's like, I don't really have anything to do with this one. I would literally never wear it. I wouldn't be caught dead in this. Spencer, do you want to wear it? And Spencer looks amazing. It's like an Adriana Papel dress. It's like gorgeous. Everyone actually looks great except Aria.
I feel like, is she too short for the cut? Is that what it is?
That's why she's in the cut, is because of how short she is. It's just giving like 60s. It's just, she's just always giving like some kind of 60s vibe. And the thing is, it is
the
ultimately making her look shorter because it has like such a blunt cut at the bottom. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it
and
is.
And I feel like it's the 60s cut, but the styling is so not. It's so like edgy and like not her. It's not 60, whatever. It's bad. And
someone behind
like,
them, did you notice, is dressed as Jack Frost?
No, but that's so me.
Their face is painted.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Caroline, for our first Connell Sister Christmas extravaganza, I'm dressing as Jack Frost.
Heat miser as fuck. Heat miser Jack Frost. Okay. Done. Okay, figured
no,
it
but
out.
I need to be, I want to be,
actually,
I be Jack
sorry,
Frost
mom
from
has
Santa
to be the
Claus.
Heat miser. I invented chill.
I want to be that one and I want to have the spikes.
Yes. He gives a whole new meaning to frosted tips.
And the icicle bolo tie.
So good. I love that movie.
We're gonna use,
Santa
and we're
Claus
gonna use
re- so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna pull a Camila Cabello and I'm gonna use real ice.
Wow. We'll see. I guess. We'll see about that.
Well, by that time I'll have my stylist.
Oh, okay, right. So never mind. Sorry to doubt you. Spencer's gonna go have her picture taken with Santa Claus. Don't worry, all the girls will do this. But Santa Claus is Lucas, and he looks terrifying and unrecognizable. And she literally goes and sits on his lap and says, I think you know what I want. And I'm like, whoa, this was a relationship I just did not see coming. But Lucas is going to keep Allie there while Hannah and Spencer go to her house. And Spencer warns him. She's like, listen, Mona said Allie was building an army. You need to be careful.
Lucas is kind of being sweet.
Yeah, I mean.
He's like, I've got your back.
He's probably having a hard time since his fearless leader was just brutally murdered. Lucas is probably having a hard time.
You're right. And then Fight Song by Rachel Platten starts to play.
Dude, this blew my mind. Why are we trying to recreate the A Cinderella Story scene where Hilary Duff walks out in her
Thank
gorgeous
you.
Dress and everyone looks
this
at her and
the
they say, who is that? Love her dress. Hate her.
This is... there's another time that I mentioned in my notes another Cinderella story with Hilary Duff.
I have a few times too. This whole party ball. But they do, it really does, even though it's not a Winter Wonderland thing in the movie, it's giving the same vibe.
The PLL set designers love that movie, I think, because remember when Ezra, there's in one of the first dances, there's a maze too, and Ezra follows Arya into the maze, and like, or no, it's Caleb and Hannah,
yeah,
and takes her mask off. Ugh. And she's kind of dressed like how Hillary was dressed, yes, at that dance. Oh, so
Allie
good.
Looks great. I'm like, okay, well, they dressed her very well here. I wish they could have kept this up because that cut, that dress on her is great. But the, yeah, the song playing was crazy when they have Allie and her army stand at the top of the steps overseeing her kingdom, and everyone behind her has a mask on. It's not a masquerade ball.
Very weird.
Way to draw attention to yourself.
That's her whole thing, though.
I guess.
And I also then this is at a time where we see that Paige is here.
Yeah.
You're telling me Paige McCullers got an invite to this ball hosted by Allison DeLaurentis.
That's so funny because I do keep forgetting this ball was hosted by Allie because I keep thinking it's a school dance.
Which makes me laugh even harder that Lucas was like hired.
Oh,
he's
my
working
God.
The party.
Phoebe, I figured out why we keep thinking it's a school dance. It's because one of the teachers is there. Ezra Fitzgerald, Mr. Fitz.
Oh, right.
It's because he's chaperoning and he's talking to his students. That's why we think, wait a minute, did he just kiss one of his students? Wait a minute. Yeah. Sorry, I just wanted to remind you all how inappropriate that relationship is.
At this point, we see that there's like this hooded figure in like a white furry hood. And at this point, Hannah and Spencer leave. Caleb kisses her goodbye. Arya is the one who's watching Allie and is like staking out, following her around. She sees Allie start to move. This is literally giving National Geographic, following someone, catching their prey.
Yeah, stalking
prey.
Arya's
following Allie, and she peeks into this tent that Allie goes into and sees her make out with this young, hot Santa Claus.
I mean, from the back, I was like, okay, work. Arya scurries away to go get Emily, and she goes, I just saw Allie kissing Santa Claus.
And Emily says, wait. Okay. Was it a guy or was it a girl?
And Arya goes, it was a guy, I could tell from the butt. And I'm like, that's how you could tell? First of all, a baggy Santa costume. Second of all, I could tell by like 50 other things.
Everything else. Yeah.
There were like a million things that gave it away that weren't the butt, Arya. But thanks for letting us all know you're kind of a perv.
So,
but then Emily's like, okay, whatever. I don't care. If it's a guy, I don't fucking care. I need to go get a picture with Santa. And she literally leaves to go do that.
Otherwise, I'd be starting a brawl.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I'm not worried.
So, Arya goes to get Ezra. And at this point, Hottie Holbrook like grabs Arya's shoulder. I mean,
dude,
Holbrook, a little much.
Hottie Holbrook can get it.
A little much.
Hottie Holbrook can get it any day of the week. And I've been saying that since he was in Sleepover with Alexa Vega. I've been saying it since then.
Fair enough.
He looks fine in his Santa Claus costume.
No,
and I'm like, I hope
he's wearing
that's who Allie was fizzing. I literally
he's
hope.
He's wearing it perfectly.
And the way he's just like kind of a dick, but like in a hot way. And he's like, he literally pulls Arya around and goes, you're on my list, Arya, the naughty one. Oh my God, my panties are on the floor. If that has just been said to me by this man, I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? My panties fell off.
Oh my God.
Stop it. It's not that big of a deal that I just said that.
Stop.
You're actually shaming. You're sex shaming me. Stop it. Okay, women are sexual beings.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This is a sex negative podcast.
And also, I didn't even say it. It was because I was like taking them off. For all you know, they fell off of my slender frame.
Because
they're a little bit too big. So thanks for laughing, by the way. Can we seriously stop skinny shaming for once? Maybe 2025 will be my year for no more skinny shaming.
So anyway,
hormone harmony. You guys know here at the Pretty Little Podcast, we are no stranger to a little bit of PMS, a little bit of a bad mood every now and then, my own mood swing. I know it sounds crazy, but it happens to even us. And sometimes one of us or both of us, but usually one of us might stay up all night long. We're just a little bit of sleeplessness, some bad sleep quality, just not feeling super great in my body. And it's a lot easier to manage this and manage PMS and everything that comes with it, thanks to Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and it is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which is what we're all about here. Always looking for little secret tips and tricks. Hormone Harmony has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. The biggest benefit, though, is that I'm just starting to feel like myself again. That's what women have mentioned over and over again in their reviews. And clock this, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
And we are even one of them. Two of them even. So, Road Warriors, for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
That's not what happens to Aria, though, by the way. Panties are still on.
She's like, why are you here? Why are you giving back to this community? And he's like, maybe there's more here for me than I previously thought.
Rosewood and is starting to grow on me.
Aria says, you sound like a guy who met a girl he really likes.
And he
says, well, why are you here? And she says, feels good to give back. That's her whole thing.
Yeah, whatever, Aria. I wish she laughed in her face when she said that. That would have been iconic. But instead, he just says that he likes her dress and says, tell Ezra I think he has good taste.
Okay, all the pedophiles are hanging out.
But I'm also
week,
like, hey, Holbrook, you already kissed Hannah. What do you think you're doing here? Gotta catch them all. Like, it seems like you're flirting with Aria. And it's like, I mean, Hannah's very happy with Caleb, I'll have you know. But don't diss Hannah like that either. Like, don't go to her friend now. You're being a homie hopper, Holbrook. Hottie Holbrook the homie hopper. Wow, it rolls off the freaking tongue.
That's right. So then we have all the significant others on this, like, bridge. Yeah, there's a bridge in here. kind of surveilling where everybody is. And we see Allie go into this Another Cinderella Story maze.
Why does
she
have
this, like,
countless mazes in her ball?
I don't know. And then we find this, like, frosted mirror, and she's looking in it. And then we see
the hooded mirror of Irisad.
I knew it looked familiar.
Yes.
Yes. And this is everything she's wanted.
Yeah.
But something tells me this might be everything she's wanted. It just won't be what she imagined.
You know what,
that's
Phoebe?
That's one of my favorite. Wow. It's one of my most favorite Seek Treatment jokes that Pat does. Without fail, every time they talk about, like, getting everything he wants, he's like, and it's like, I got everything I wanted. It's just not what I imagined.
And
because it's the Olivia Rodrigo lyric.
Oh, I didn't know that, but he's so real for that. And I'm going to just give it to him. He's so real for that.
I love him.
I know you just told me he's quoting someone, but I'm like, eh.
So then we see that it's Cece, actually. It's Cece who's back.
Cece in her low budget mask. She's like, sorry, I wasted all my budget on this white cloak. I had to just do silver eyeshadow on my eyes instead of getting a real mask.
It's giving, like, when girls go as Violet Beauregard for Halloween and just, like, paint their nose.
I'm like, can you at least explain this? Can you at least make a comment about, like, what's going on here with your face? No? Okay.
It's so stupid. Do you want to just go through with this?
Yeah. Doing this here is crazy, by the way.
So Cece gives Allie a perfume called Allison because while she was in France, yeah, remember Allie gave Cece her passport so she could go to France?
That's Allie's signature move.
Her fraudulent passport to another
person. Which worked, went off without a hitch.
And Cece wore a hat and sunglasses when she was getting through customs. And wait, did you hear that Southwest is going to start doing assigned seats?
Are you fucking kidding?
I know.
Oh my God. Why?
Because they hate me.
Well, thanks a lot, Phoebe. If it's because of you, that means you could have stopped it. That means you had the power to stop it. So anyway, okay,
for sure. So
they're exchanging.
She gave her this perfume, and well, they're not exchanging anything. Allie doesn't have a gift for Cece. And Cece's like, yeah, I was in this boutique and it was a really small place, but I ended up spending the whole day there. It's just the owner really can get to talking, and before you know it, he's handing you a perfume that's the perfect scent for the person that you've been talking about.
And we see this like sweet relationship between her and Allie, which is conflicting, just knowing what they're both capable of. And Cece's like, I came because I know that the first Christmas after losing someone is really hard, meaning her mom. And Allie confesses to Cece that she actually had a dream and Jesse came and warned her about Mona. And Cece says, Mona can't hurt you. You know that. And I'm like, and how do you know that? Which one of you did it? Which one of you stupid bitches did it? I'm mad about it still. So anyway, that's fine.
She says, Allie, you need to be careful. Your ex-friends are here tonight.
She's like, I invited them.
Ex-friends is crazy. It's a charity.
She's like, you mean the ones on my guest list?
Ever hear about charity?
Yeah, got it. Know that. So Emily is surveying the land and she sees Cindy and Mindy and follows them. And great, it's a trap. It's actually not. I thought it was Cindy and Mindy because they both have dark hair and they're wearing masks. It's actually Jenna and Sydney, the other two evil twins.
The gasp. When okay, so Cindy takes her mask off first and then Jenna takes her mask off and Emily does what Caroline did when Anthony walked into the room 20 minutes ago. She was she literally, the gasp that she lets out is crazy.
I'm also, and like, Jenna, once you says, knew this was Sydney, did you not think that was gonna be Jenna?
Very strange. And she's like, why are you guys doing this? And Jenna says that when she first moved to Rosewood, she made the mistake of saying no to Allie when she was asked to be her friend. And she's not going to make that same mistake again. And they all think that Allie probably killed Mona. But the best line is,
oh my God,
because they're talking about this. And Emily's like,
well, Sydney's like,
so
you're not the enemy.
Go ahead. And Emily says, so you're just sleeping with the enemy. And Sydney, I guess, she doesn't know what, like, colloquial phrases are, I don't think, because she says, I'm not gay, Emily.
And she, like, laughs, says, like, it's the funniest thing she's ever heard. She's like, I'm not gay, Emily.
And Emily goes, that's not what I meant. And I'm like, okay, this is, like, the second episode in a row where Emily said something and the other party has made it about being gay somehow.
Yes.
And one of them who made the comment is now dead. So, Sydney, count your fucking
count
days.
Your days. And everyone, and there's a cheer from the audience. So, we're at Allie's house, and Hannah and Spencer are freezing in there because it's cold. They're creeping each other out. They're going to split up. They're looking for stuff, whatever. Hannah finds a birdcage. And
Tippy's
she.
Birdcage.
Yes. I was thinking that, but I didn't know for sure. And she finds a hidden compartment where, oh, ding, 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 third time's a charm, it's another passport. And again, Allie's signature move. But this passport has the name Holly Varjak, which she asks Spencer about. And Spencer
so funny.
Explains that Holly Golightly is the character in Breakfast at Tiffany's. And Z said that Allie was his Holly Golightly. And the guy's name in Breakfast at Tiffany's is something, I don't remember, Varjak.
Paul Varjak.
So she put them together. And then in the photo for the passport, she is dressed like Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's like a little bit too on the nose. But Spencer also reads her for filth and goes, yeah, probably the movie, not the book. Like Allie would have read that.
She reads her for filth again because she says,
oh, yeah,
Paul is the character who convinces Holly that she can, it's okay to be loved. And Spencer says, I guess in Allie's manic mind, they end up together somehow.
It's so crazy. But Spencer is over here, like, putting different pieces of newspaper together, figuring out that Allie was talking to somebody through the personal ads, which we know she also did with Mona.
This was annoying to me. She's doing this. They're in this house to be working. And Hannah walks in there and says, Spencer, I found something. Spencer ignores her.
I know.
And then when she's like, Spencer, and she's like, what?
I know. She can't imagine it's that, like, Hannah. She's like, I let you come along, Hannah. Can you just shut the fuck up?
Just sit down and play fucking Candy Crush on the couch.
Literally the attitude she's giving. And it's also like, hey, Spence, time is of the essence here. Like, we don't need to be spending more time in here than
like
we
when
need
they
to
were,
be spending.
When they were in Radley and she was going to just like sit there and read every file. And Mona was like,
no, we're going to take all of this with us and we'll bring it back later.
So we go back to the ball and Emily, Caleb, Ezria, and Paige are all talking about the whole Brooke and Allie thing. And Emily at this point conveniently remembers and she says she'd never told them because Allie said, don't tell them. It'll protect them if you don't tell them. But Emily now remembers that Cece actually showed up in New York that night and then Allie helped Cece get out of the country, which we know, but the girls did not. So then Emily's like, well, I think that Holbrook helped Cece escape for Allie. And then they see Allie, Cece, and Holbrook heading to the exit and they start following. And that's when Ezra pulls Holbrook aside. And like, as he pulls him aside, he's so fucking obvious. Caleb is with him. And then Emily and Aria like walk by like right there. And it's like, they're so squished. It's so obvious what's happening.
Ezra was walking like too close, like behind. Like when he stopped the girls, like they were all clearly walking together. And then Ezra like found his moment to cut away. Yeah. But it wasn't a clean like.
No, it was not clean at all.
Aria and Emily weren't. Or like it didn't look good. So they're quite chasing clunky. Who they think are Cece and Allie down this hallway, and then they start to fucking pick up the pace. And by the time they get to the end of the hallway, Paige and Lucas come from the other side, and we have them freaking sequestered now. And then we see, no, it's the Allie masks on them, and it's Cindy
crazy
and Mindy.
They literally turn around, they've got these blonde wigs, they've got the Allie masks. And this is where I'm like, Emily, get real. Because Emily goes, Allison? It's not Allison. It's not.
Also, like, poor Cindy and Mindy, it's their first time having a friend and she's having them do this.
Poor Cindy and Mindy, it's their first time having a friend and it's Allison De Laurentiis. Like, what could be worse? What could be worse? So Hannah's in the attic and she finds a key to this chest. And in
and
the chest.
Somehow figures out where it's supposed to
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I also thought that
there's
was like.
There's a million
like,
chests in this
I was like, now, was this on Mona's blueprint specifically? Because otherwise, not really buying it, but, you know, suspension
well,
of disbelief.
We're forgetting where Hannah's looking for college.
You know what? You're right. And shame on me. Shame on me.
And shame on you.
For forgetting that. But in the chest, she finds a bunch of, like, old awards and keepsakes
this
from Allie's
so
life. And then she finds
this
tape
so
cassette.
Lily.
And I'm like, oh, my God, what? This is actually so you as well. The tape cassette, she presses play and he goes, get out of my stuff or I'll kill you.
That is hilarious. So funny. Imagine them coming up with that in the writer's room.
I know. It's actually genius. And it's so Allie, but it's also so Phoebe and it's also so Lily. We love that. And we just keep going back to Toby, who I guess they really needed to like make him feel important in this episode. Because we just keep returning to him so we can see like his view of the girls and what's happening. And he realizes there's trouble. There's someone else in there before they do. And he does essentially nothing to stop it or help them.
This is crazy because Spencer or Caleb calls Toby to tell him that Allie is left and that Hannah won't answer her phone. And we find out that it's because Hannah has made a great blunder in this episode. We find out later. But Toby looks down to the living room. And A is waiting there for Toby to see him or her. And we see that A is holding a knife.
Gigantic knife.
And A walks through the living room and Spencer's already hiding. Not her best work in terms of a hiding spot. She fully has half of her body out from the couch and is holding onto the coffee table next to the couch. And it's like, Spencer, this is where I'm like, A is not that smart.
Yeah. Well, it's also not her best work because, I'm sorry, Spencer, why is your phone not on silent? Why is the keyboard making noise right now when you're texting? And then Hannah, girl, for real, you didn't bring your phone with you? What if you needed a fucking flashlight? You left your phone down here on vibrate? Like, I was just like, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was amateur hour. We've been doing this for five
and
a half seasons, people.
And she doesn't have that, like, fade
exactly.
feature on her phone. It's like it stays awake all the time.
Troubling.
But what was I just gonna say?
I don't know. But then Hannah finds a Jack in the Box and I'm like, again, Jack in the Boxes are famously noisy, so we don't need to do this. You can just try to like take it out without all that. But no, we have to do the whole thing. And she sees in the back
and then she's like, then she reads the back of it and she says Mad Hatter.
And then whoop.
Mad Hatter.
Look around.
Let me see a bunch of hat
look
boxes.
Around. Oh my God. It's all making sense. It's all making sense now that I read the words Mad
but
Hatter.
How?
I realize I'm surrounded by hat boxes.
Nice. And then we go back to Spencer and we see that A is fucking stupid because A walks.
Bless you.
Right past. Thank you. Right past Spencer. And then like kind of backtracks and like fully like I know from the angle we're seeing this happen. You can see Spencer.
Yes.
You have to be able
I thought the same.
Then Spencer texts Hannah and says, Hannah, A's in the house or something. She puts quotation marks around A. We don't have time
for that. Yeah, I know. That's so true.
We don't have time for conventions here.
No, we don't. And especially because that's two additional keyboard clicks that we heard. Audible keyboard clicks, Spence. Jesus Christ. So then Hannah is looking... And she has all these letters. And it's so funny because Hannah's like, I only ever had one pen pal. So Allie has like a million letters. And we see they're from fucking Bethany. And Allie invited Bethany to her house for Labor Day. Famously the day she was killed. Allie, this is not looking good for you, babe.
Allie, I hope Hottie, I hope Brooke.
Allie.
I hope you're really helping him out.
I really
because
hope
he's gonna have
that,
to
like,
help you out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just find it hard to believe considering she's a teenager and he's a grown adult. But
yes.
Okay.
And so Toby's trying to like flash this big flashlight so to get Hannah's attention and it's not working. And she does do that. She makes that connection like Caroline said. Spencer doesn't go to the De Laurentiis kitchen to get a knife. What she does is she breaks one of their picture frames, Justina.
Noisy.
Less, and takes one of the shards of glass and like wraps it in fabric and that's now her weapon. She's strapped. She's ready to go.
Can I say a couple things about this? Number one.
Yeah.
Again, like Phoebe was saying, we don't have time for these things. We don't have time to like break the glass as quiet as we can and find a good piece and then that's big enough to do what you need to do and then wrap it in something. And then also, do you know how close you have to be to the person for this to be effective? Like, this isn't like, it doesn't have a handle. It doesn't have any length to it. So you actually have to be like right on them. Why would you not, instead of making noise, taking all this unnecessary time and not thinking through what happens when you actually come face to face with A, why would you not just pick up the fucking candlestick or something? Like, it's if it's in the board game Clue,
it's because
it'll get the job done. Okay. It's a good
and
rule
I
of
just,
thumb.
Something really just clicked for me about Spencer. She is the oldest Baudelaire.
Oh my god,
sibling.
Violet Baudelaire and her little bow in
Do
her hair.
Do you remember
hair.
That the book where she makes the fire on the boat? I think it's like the third. But
know.
She like uses her brother's glasses
to get
the sun
yeah.
like perfectly to start a fire. It's like, Spencer, you're not on a boat in the middle of
it's
nowhere.
Like,
there are actually probably knives in the next room.
It's like as if that's what happened. Like, she did all that. Violet Baudelaire did all that. And then her brother was like, oh, I have a lighter. Like, that's essentially
yes.
the same thing as Spencer doing all that
exactly.
when there's a definitely a brass heavy candlestick right behind you. And if not that, there are a million other things in this room you could probably get. Or you know what, Spence? What I'm honestly going to say, it's too late for you to help Hannah. I would run out of this fucking house with your phone and call the police. That's what I would do. But okay.
But I guess there.
I guess
she
is
out on bail.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. What am I thinking?
No. But still, Spencer, the alternative here, I guess, is that you are going to get caught with more blood on your hands.
So true.
If you do end up killing A.
The alternative is you're leaving a crime scene and someone's dead in the house. Or it's you who's dead. So I don't know.
And
we can weigh our options, so we don't
same,
really have time.
It's in the same house that you allegedly already killed someone.
Correct. Yes, exactly.
And so Hannah's in the attic and she hides. She like hears something and she hides the note. And this is where I'm like, Hannah, if Spencer is not already talking to you, don't say her fucking
don't
name.
Don't yell it
because
in
Hannah
your
goes,
outside
Spence?
Voice.
She is screaming.
I mean, screaming.
And so she starts to like head down the attic steps. And this, I know I've seen this episode before, but I forgot this happened. And I can like, a millisecond before it happens, I'm like, oh no.
Well, yes.
Because the door is like so pushed in open.
Yeah,
you know,
can see that like
that
it
I'm, like,
must. Yeah.
It must be being pulled as far open as it is. And they hit it shut, chase Hannah back up the stairs, knock her out.
Ugh.
And then I guess they do parkour out of the window. Like, yeah, the person at the opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympics.
That's okay. Dropping that you watched some of the Olympics, which I have not yet.
Which, don't worry, we'll talk about it when we record the first part. True, of the pod.
Correct. We're doing things all cattywampus. It was it's quite strange.
It was quite strange.
So, Spencer then runs into the attic and sees this open window. Hannah's lying beside it. Hannah sits up suddenly.
Hannah's not lying beside it. She is knocked out. I'm
sorry, yes. But A's still in the house with a mask on. And then leaves, right?
A is?
Wait, why did I write Hannah sit?
No, that was earlier. That was earlier when Toby saw A. We don't know where A went.
Okay, okay.
We just see that the window's open, so we presume it. But A wasn't smart enough to check the girl's body. Because Hannah still has the letter.
Thank God. Honestly, thank God. So then,
because you know, she would have been in trouble with all the girls.
Yeah, they would not have forgiven her. They would have been like, "Yes, you're on your own. You're on your own, kid. You always have been." She's like, "Ain't that the truth?"
And Hannah's like, "Well, honestly, good. Spencer, enjoy your arrest. Enjoy being in jail." We'll see how this works when I'm not a part of it.
No, it's so true. She's like, don't forget, I want to know what Spencer got on her SATs. I want to see both of their scores side by side. That's all I'm saying. So bad. That's what I want to see. And I don't want Spencer to show me her super score because Hannah doesn't have a super score. Hannah took that thing one time. Spencer took it 10 times and she's combined. No. I want to see your raw score. Thank you. First time. We're all congregated at Spencer's now. And Hannah still has this letter. And now we're like, so excited because this proves that Allison knew Bethany and it could maybe get Spencer off the hook. And Spencer goes, I don't want to say the H word, but I'm feeling cautiously optimistic. And then the bell tolls. It's midnight. We all say Merry Christmas and we're watching A Christmas Carol.
Toby has a Kenny moment. He goes, and her heart grew three sizes today.
I like how your Kenny voice is also like Joe Biden.
Eeyore.
Okay, they're watching Christmas Carol. And then we go back to Mona and Allie, and Mona is just belching her little heart out, singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. She's like, I didn't get to do my choir audition because I passed out. So I'm going to make the most of every chance I have to use my gift. Yeah.
And she says, ignoring me won't make me go away.
Well, because Mona goes, how was the party?
It'll just make me mad.
And that's where Allie is like, ignoring her. And then, Mona's like, not gonna work for me.
And so Mona like disappears.
Well, Allie's like, what do you want from me? And Mona's like, you just need to wait. If you think you're depressed now, look over there. And Allie turns. Oh, suddenly we're in the church.
Well, no, I was just saying Mona kind of disappears after she says, it'll just make me mad. And then she scares Allie again, similarly to how Anthony scared Caroline earlier.
Okay.
But yes, we go to Allie's funeral.
So it's Allie's funeral. Allie's in the church. There's a coffin. Allie's wearing the worst PJs ever, and they're not even Christmassy. She's wearing a royal blue long sleeve shirt with like those little snap buttons coming down. And then there's a gigantic star made up of a bunch of little small stars that are rainbows, and then like black pajama pants with white stars on them. I'm sorry, I'm not buying that Allison De Laurentiis is wearing this after her ball.
No way.
I'm just not buying it.
No way. And Allie just says, when? She's clearly young. She's not a day over 17 in this coffin. And Mona says, does it matter? And Allie says, it matters to me.
I couldn't believe it. Mona goes, yeah, they never found her legs. What?
And then Allie doesn't acknowledge it at all. I thought we were going to get like a shriek.
Where I was like, are we going to find out like how she died, that she doesn't have her legs or no? Okay, no? Okay, cool.
And then she turns around and we see the Black Widow from one of the funerals.
I was wondering, which funeral is that?
Wilden.
Okay.
And she says, do I know you? And then we find out that it's Jess D. And she says, they'll be coming for you soon. And then the church turns into the fucking seventh ring of hell.
Yeah. The place starts being swarmed. And Allie asks if she's going to hell. And Jess D turns around after like going to the coffin. She's crying. And Allie just like loses her shit. She's trying to get out of the church. She can't. And then boom, she wakes up. Mona's in her room. I thought this is where Mona was scaring her, because this is where she goes, wake up, hey, bitch. It's Christmas. And I promise you don't want to miss it.
No, that does happen. But there's a point where she like jumps around the living room. Okay. But the scene in the church where all the like bats and demons start swarming it, that's kind of how it felt for me as a kid to watch your production of Christmas Carol.
It's like, you guys, I don't know if you're feeling like this too. If I have to hear one more blasphemous word about my production of Christmas Carol growing up that Phoebe had the privilege of going to see, I think my head might pop off. It's like, where's the Christmas spirit, Fee? Hey, Fee, where's the fucking Christmas spirit? It is July after all.
I don't
all.
Think it's a very Christmas spirity freaking musical. Oh,
Phoebe, it is the most Christmas spirity musical. Like, by far. Phoebe's probably never finished it, actually, because she gets too scared. So she doesn't know it as a happy ending. We did a lot of joking about Tiny Tim earlier when we started this podcast. But like, she doesn't actually know that he makes it. And it's okay.
I do.
Well, you know what, Phoebe? Does anyone make it, though? No.
Not in the story.
Not in any story.
And... And so, yes.
All the girls are still at Spencer's. The roads, there was like there's a really bad in. Blizzard. So Emily isn't going to get to be with her family for Christmas, and she's pretty sad. Aria's not with hers either. And Hannah goes, Christmas is wherever we are as long as we're together.
I'm a little bit like, hey, Aria. Hey, Hannah. Why don't you just walk home?
Yeah, I was wondering.
You guys aren't snowed in.
Do you think Ashley's like with Ted or something? Like doing churchy stuff? I'm like, I don't like, know why Hannah
isn't with
well,
her.
Well, I also
mom.
Am like, I don't even or know like, if why didn't, Hannah like, didn't say anything about it. I wonder if it's just like being a good friend, like solidarity. She's not going to leave if like they're. Because Arya's parents
Aria
are out of town,
card?
Right? Or they're not there?
I don't know. Oh. I think that's weird.
I think, honestly, if her parents are out of town, I think that's weird.
On Christmas Day without them?
On Christmas yeah. Day in the morning.
And so Toby's cast is decorated to be a candy cane. Oh, wait, I skipped ahead. So it's the morning and all the girls are talking and then no. I actually think I deliberately skipped over this.
Okay, well, we did already do the whole girls at Spencer's, girls are talking. Hannah has that line. As long as we're together, and then we hear, and we are together. And that's when we see the picture that's haunted me for 5 seasons now, because I see it every time I Google pictures of Pretty Little Liars. It's all of the partners on the steps in Santa Claus boxers, and Paige is also wearing a white tank top, which is nice of her. But nice of them to let her not have to be shirtless. And that's Toby's gesture. Yeah. And it's like, how about some creativity, dude? Spencer just did that.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you're not
going
to have a creative gesture, then get her a gift.
Toby is fully standing on the steps, though, and has to be helped down into his wheelchair.
I did forget about that. I did forget that he was in a wheelchair.
But I do think that as a couple, like you guys both have a lot going on right now. I think we could have just ditched gestures and gifts mm-hmm. all together.
Or you know what? Even better, you both have a lot going on right now. Toby, get her a nice gift.
Amazon Prime or something. And then Paige and Emily are having a moment, and Paige confesses to Emily that her parents want her to move to California, not just visit, because they don't think Rosewood is a safe place anymore.
You know,
Hannah is...
Wait, can I say something? This is the first time Phoebe just actually rolled her eyes. I said...
Well, I thought you were going to correct me, and I was like, that is exactly what happened.
No, I'm not correcting you. I just wanted to say... It's a shame that Paige finally gets likable and then she has to leave.
Well, yeah, that is a good point. And Emily's like, I thought we were going to have more time, and they hug. Hannah's looking over old headshots of Mona. Like, we couldn't like just stockpile pictures of these actors together to make it look a little bit more realistic. It's just a picture of Mona.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. For what Hannah's looking at to mourn. And she's like, Mona should be here. She's the reason we're all celebrating or getting to celebrate. And then we're having some dinner.
It's like a gorgeous table setting. It's really kind of insane that they did this themselves. And they all pray together and then they have Christmas dinner. And Allie is just watching from the outside window like, girl, you weren't invited. Don't be weird.
The blessing is prompted by Arya.
I know. The least likely to do it.
Which was a bit surprising to me. And also, did you notice what Ezra puts down on the table that Arya is so excited to see?
Oh, you know what?
Christmas chicken.
Good point. I didn't clock Arya's reaction to it, but I'm glad you did. Yeah, and Emily does a sweet little cheer. She says, to this family, may we always stay together.
Mm-hmm. I also just want to remind everybody that their high school English teacher
is at the table. Yeah.
Don't forget. And then we see some, like, I don't know, flu powder come down the chimney.
Near jingle bells.
And turn the fire green for a second. And all the people go outside.
Well, Hannah asks if it's Santa. And everyone looks at her like she is fucking stupid. And I'm like, okay, well, hey, guys, the fire did just turn green. And we heard jingle bells. And it's Christmas. So I know that Santa's, quote, not real to you guys, I guess. I believe, but you guys might not. But, like, shut the fuck up. It's not the craziest thing she could say on Christmas.
Let's see. Anytime they make fun of Hannah from now on, I'm going to say, let's see your SAT scores.
Let's see them.
Arya, I want to see yours.
I hope.
Back.
Actually, in the next season of Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin, we should get, like, Dr. Sullivan. Oh, she's dead. We could get something where they're like, oh, we're just actually looking back at the highest SAT score out of Rosewood, Hannah Marin. And I just want to see, like, I want them to call back to it. Yeah.
Arya is going to be the person, and I'm not making fun of these people because I'm one of these people, but, like, Arya presents herself as, like, so smart, but she's the kind of person who would be like, but I just don't test well.
True, but I love that you just said about yourself that you present as so smart.
No.
Which is so true, by the way.
You're misunderstanding.
Hey, everyone,
you're misunderstanding.
Don't misunderstand me. So true.
No, you're misunderstanding what I was saying.
No,
I know
what you mean.
I'm someone who agrees with the principle of, like, there are people that don't test well, but Arya wants to be perceived as so smart, but I think she knows in her heart of hearts that she's probably just, like,
average,
basic level
yeah.
smart. And so when she does, like, mediocre on these tests, she's like, well, I just don't test well.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why my scores look like, if there was a writing portion.
But there never is. I mean, no one cares about that, apparently. It's all about calculus these days. So they're outside. It's a gorgeous Christmas scene. There's a beautiful Christmas tree. They're like, oh, my God, who the heck did this? And I'm like, in my mind, I was like, oh, it looked like the tree that was in Allie's house. And Allie was just here. And I'm like, maybe she did something nice. Oh, but I should have known better, because then the lights light up and it says, Merry Christmas, bitches, A. And I am, like, low-key gorgeous, though. Gorgeous.
No, that's what I wrote. This is so aesthetic.
This looks great, you
it
guys.
Looks so
why are
good.
We mad?
And I think we found the decorations for the photo wall of our first Connell sister.
Oh,
Christmas
my God.
Extravaganza.
Wait, I also think we just found our photo shoot inspo for our first ever Christmas photo shoot. Guys, that was the episode. Phoebe, you're on synopsis duty. I'm ready to get out of these, like, special holiday moments now. Like, okay, it was fun. It'd be more fun if I was also in a holiday mood, but, like, it's 90 degrees, so not as easy for me to enjoy.
All right.
Okay.
Season 5, episode 14, I believe this is when we pick back up. Like,
thank
we
God.
Just got to the mid-season and now we're picking back up. The liars attempt to prove that Allison was involved in Mona's death. Emily and Paige come to a crossroads in their relationship. Arya becomes concerned about her future.
When is Arya not concerned about her anything?
Literally.
Sounds like every
nothing
other episode. Okay.
And nothing about Hannah.
Oh, great. Nothing about Hannah. Great. Perfect. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please, please, please rate, review, subscribe, tell all your friends about us, follow us on social media. We released about 1 million episodes last week. Not only did we release 5.12 and 2 episodes on the Patreon, our definitive guide on how to be an it girl, how to be so Julia, and our The Summer I Turned Pretty pilot recap, but we were also featured on the Independent Business Podcast with Honey Book, and it was actually a really fun interview. You may have seen Phoebe spreading out her, like, key business takeaways for small business owners.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, I was circulating
shout
the web.
Shout out Massey College of Business.
But that episode's also out, and I do think it was fun for us. She called it juicy, guys, and I'm like, okay, sure, it's juicy.
If you can even believe it, I quote Field of Dreams.
And we can all believe it because we quote it bi-weekly.
The film Field of Dreams.
It's and $20 to anyone who can guess the quote. Okay, fine, I'll tell you. It's if you build it, they will come. Oh my god, and the crowd goes wild. Everyone is shocked.
And the crowd's like, wait, I have to see the film.
Heard this before. And we're like, wait, go to our Amazon storefront and rent it from there. Okay. Stay tuned. We have a lot of really exciting things coming up.
Wait, put that on her storefront. That's so funny.
I will. Cool. I have Little Women
even
on there.
If it's just like a VHS.
No, it's just like to rent. It's like $0 or something. Oh, but I just put it on there because it's funny. In this stuff we love list, I put Little Women. The movie. Directed by Greta Gerwig. That one. Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. And that's it. And that's just it. We will see you next week. And
splat.
That was powerful.